You know, I really don't know where to start tonight. I don't know whether to start with the Alfredo pasta, the mini Matt Zola sermon in the back worship set. I think I know where I want to start, Lindsay. The buffalo tossing the lion.
Oh, that was a good one.
I was a little confused because I was like, is there more? What is the context here? Like, that thing went flying like 5 feet in the air.
Oh, it did. It's like if you've ever seen this video of where a car is going down the highway, hits a deer, and the deer just goes flying.
Sounds like I need to do some searching on YouTube.
Just a little.
That was wild. So we're in a new message series. We're on the other side of Fall Retreat. We started with a series from all of our big three, David, Fred, and Brian, talking about a better story. And now, since we all made so many friends at Fall Retreat, or maybe not.
I hope you made at least one friend. But also for those that didn't get to go on Fall Retreat, you're still, it's still open. Like, you can still make friends.
There
We're here
so
for it.
There are so many opportunities. And so we started this new series called Connected. And David started us off with a really good way. I think within college, it can be really easy to jump into, like, let's talk about relationships. But you know what? We need more than relationships. I mean, relationships are good. But some
what
good
do we
friendships.
Need? Oh, Landon. Amen. Really that is good.
So David had a lot of good things to say. What of those good things stuck out to you?
Oh gosh, there's so many. Like, I don't think I can say them all.
We've got time. Okay, just start with one of them.
That's good. I'll start with, he kind of started out with this of like, we all desperately long for connection.
Yeah.
Like, we all want to be with other people. And I think even the people that are like, oh, I'm fine on my own. Like, we live in a very independent culture. They still at some point have to admit, like, I need people.
Yeah.
Like, I need some form of connection, some relationship. Like, I got to have something in my life. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we have that boundary, I guess, or that balance of like, you either desire it like overly, it seems like, or sometimes you may not like have enough. And maybe we just go into isolation, especially over these past couple of years. Like,
yeah,
it's taught us to be cut off from connection.
Yeah. And I'm sure that there's, you know, students listening to this that are probably on both ends of the spectrum, right? That have just like fully jumped in head on.
Yes.
And then, you know, maybe people that, I think we all want it, but I think for some people, you know, the beginning of college can be hard, or the middle of college can be hard, and there can just be really lonely seasons. I think you're even right to talk about, you know, how the pandemic impacted that and, you know, mm-hmm. made us even more isolated and more lonely. And so I think that this message was timely to even speak into that.
Yeah. I even just think of like numerous conversations I've had with students in or out of a global pandemic that have talked about like, oh, well, like I don't initiate, like friends have to like initiate hangouts with me, or like, or there are people that are the initiators and they're like, I just feel like I'm always asking my friends to hang out and they're never initiating.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to hear the different dynamics of friendships and that people are desiring each other, desiring to be in community, but then they're just kind of missing the mark.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I even had the thought, I don't know what your experience of this has been like, but I think that like, I don't know, like there's even a transition like post-college that I've felt where like, you know, making friends in, you know, post-college life isn't as easy as, you know, doing it during college. Like, college is an easy time. I think David was right to allude that it's maybe a little more difficult than, you know, like in high school, because you just kind of like end up beside people where you kind of have to intentionally seek it out. But I even had this thought of like, man, like, you know, this is important stuff now, because you got to know how to intentionally seek after community. I think it's a little easier, you know, on a college campus, because it's just a place where everyone's together and community kind of somewhat naturally forms, but you really do have to fight for it. That's been one of the things that's even stuck out to me beyond college, is like, man, you really got to like, sometimes you got to be the one that initiates. Like, it does feel good when there's like that mutual, but like, yeah, I think that college is even a good training ground for how to seek out community for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I agree. Especially of being so, in case you all don't know, this is my fourth year on staff. So that's almost going on 4 years post-grad life here. So I know what it's like to be a college student,
yeah.
But also I kind of know what it is to be after. And I have loved, because mine's a little bit of a different perspective of still being in this community of like, right, CSF and those relationships and friendships. But I've seen my friends who have also graduated at the same time and how hard it has been for them to be in community and to find friends and like it's worked out for them and they've sought the Lord in it. They've sought other friendships, but they have had to put in effort and they had to learn, like, if they weren't the one initiating, they had to learn how to initiate. And so just take the time that you can now and start trying to do that. Start forming, and it may be out of your comfort zone, but it's worth at least trying it, especially in this space, in this community that is like a safe place to do that. And if it doesn't work out, if it's a little awkward the first time, that's all right.
Yeah. I almost wonder if it's one of those, like, you get out of it what you put into it situations. Like if you want like low investment relationships, like you're just not going to get a lot out of those. You know, like the ones that you're willing to invest in and take more time to put into, I think are going to be the ones that bear more fruit in your life and are actually, I don't know, like real friendships. And I even wonder how much of that is contributed by like social media culture, even where like we kind of have the ability to like feel like we have low investment friendships because we're just keeping up with people's lives. Or we're like, you know, we'll send someone a message every now and then. And we're like more connected, but also more separated than ever.
Yeah. It is very funny when you think about like social media and some of its original intention was to connect people that could not be connected.
Yeah.
Like you just think of like Facebook, which I know is like probably an old throwback by now. I feel like I'm ancient. I'm not that old, but, like it was for people that I think of like my mom who like has a brother, my uncle that lives in a completely other state. And like, we don't get to see him very often. And so like, that's a way that they get to keep up is that they get to see about each other's lives on social media.
Yeah.
And so it was meant to like bring more relationships and connections, but in the end, it also has ended up separating us in a lot of different ways. And that does remind me of like what David was saying, of like, we can either be unknown and alone or known and vulnerable. And there's risk in like both of those. And so I love how he said that. And I think social media does play a really big part in that, because we can continue to be unknown and alone on social media instead of wanting to be known. Or sometimes there's the people that they're looking to be known and they kind of go about it the wrong way sometimes on social media. And yeah, I think even in like, I guess, real life, not social media, not online presence. I just think of some people and like conversations I've had recently with people, either girls in my core group or just around CSF or just anywhere in general, of people that like, they don't really want to be known. And like, it's scary, but at the same time, they're longing to like, I want to have friends with people. I want to like have relationships with people. And I'm just like, dang, it's kind of, it is a both, like to be known and to know others.
Yeah. Like not only does it take, like the investment to like initiate, but also you kind of have to bring your whole self to the table, which can be scary.
Definitely. For sure.
Yeah. But I think that, I don't know, that's part of the beauty of even like, I love the David plugged groups is like, you know, it's easier when, you know, everyone's doing it right. And like, you're not the only one just like, you know, putting yourself out there. Sometimes you gotta be the one to just initiate and say, hey, I'm going to take this step to, you know, take this relationship to the next level, you know, take this friendship to a deeper place. And I even think about just how like, like how easy it is for guys. Like, I just feel like I have so many friendships where like, you know, you just, it's so easy to just keep it at a surface level. You know, you talk about fantasy football, you talk about, you know, sports, you talk about, I don't know, just whatever, like super just like casual stuff. And like, it just takes a little bit of boldness to like take that extra step and say, okay, like let's actually go deeper than this. Obviously vulnerability can be a really, you know, a challenge for guys too. And man, I just think that's something that we have to be bold in stepping out and saying like, hey, I'm actually going to bring, you know, my fullness to the table. If you're listening to this and you're like a leader in a group, I think it's, you know, maybe even on you to kind of just initiate that. In a sense, and just, you know, I don't know. I think we have to bring our whole selves to, and this is another social media thing, I think, is like we want to bring like the put together pieces of ourselves. And because that's what I think we often project on social media, even is just like, you know, we have our lives together. And so to, there's this underlying truth that we all know, but we don't talk about a lot, which is that like none of us really have it together.
Amen. That's true.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to go on like a, you know, a social media rant or anything, but I just think it's interesting the seeds that it plants and kind of even how it informs, you know, how our online relationships inform our like real life relationships too.
Yeah, that is a good point. I'd be interested in like studying that further actually. And something I was going to say, like, I know you were addressing leaders even, but also this is for anybody, because everybody can be a leader in any, in many different ways.
It's good.
And one thing I've learned, at least in leading groups and being a part of groups, even if I wasn't like the direct leader of the group, is that like vulnerability breeds vulnerability. Oh. And so the times that, and like I said, it's always a boundary and a balance of like, you never want to like overshare. And sometimes it is using discernment and being like, Lord, like, do you want me to share right now? Do you want me to share part of my story? Or maybe I just share a glimpse of it. Maybe I don't share all of it. But sometimes your willingness to be open with people, no matter like what the setting is, and like I said, use discernment, can encourage others to then reciprocate in the same way.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll take time, but it's showing them like, hey, this is a safe place and I'm going to show you my real self and I want to know like your real self.
Yeah. I also really loved, I don't know, just like his little, you know, example of doing worship or whatever, and, you know, kind of having a thought to the side of like, yes, you know, oh, that person over there, like, you know, I can't believe that they're, you know, over here into worship because they've done such and such. Like, I think that is just, is just real. I think that's just how like the enemy works. And I think, man, I just even thought like, I don't know, like, what is your disposition towards other people in your faith community? Like, are you trying to build like bridges or barriers? And like, you know, I even think that we like, I don't know, like, that's just like the idea of just like, you know, judgment culture just gets in the way of authentic friendship and even like, creating like, I don't know, like even connections within CSF across like groups and social circles that just, you know, I think we kind of say, oh, I'm not going to talk to this person for this reason. And we just kind of put up our walls. And I think that further isolates us.
Yeah, I definitely feel like that's even part of my own story of kind of growing up in church and just having this very black and white view. Mm. And even with the people, like, I feel like I was always judging those around me. And it's something that I've really had to work with the Lord through over these past years, over this past decade, and just saying like, dang, he really does call us to love one another. And I think David even said that of like, we are identified by the way that we love others. Like, that's how you know that you are a disciple of Christ, yeah, is by the way that you love. And so I have been very convicted to be like, wow, am I loving? And is that, and sometimes it's not always even just the action. Like, sometimes it is the thought, like, what is your thought life? And are you thinking well things of like, and something I've gone back to time and again is, am I honoring that person? Am I honoring myself? Am I honoring God? Am I honoring that person? Is it a friend? Is it a stranger? Somebody else, you know, but like kind of creating this culture of honor and just knowing that, like, I don't know, the way that the Lord honors us and that we, like, he's even saying that we are his guest of honor at this table that is prepared for us in heaven. And David talked about that too, being citizens of heaven instead of here. And so like treating everybody as they're the guest of honor at, yeah, your table. And I just, I don't know, I really love that part. And it was a big thing for me and a little, I guess, inside scoop for some of y'all. Even like being on staff, because being on staff for so many years, and I think this could, you know, translate across different things, different communities and stuff like that. But being in a community with somebody for so long, like, it is hard. It is not easy. Yeah. And it is really tough. It's worth it. Don't get me wrong. It is very, very worth it, but it is also very refining. And there are so many times throughout the years that I will have to like even stop myself and be like, whoa, I am trying to tear down my brother or sister and the people that I'm working alongside and like the people that we are working to share the gospel with.
Yeah.
And here we are, like, it's so easy for division and it's so easy. One little thought, one little word comes in and just, it feels like everything comes crumbling down.
Yeah.
And so really being on guard and like watching what we're saying, watching what we're thinking, and I feel like I'm relating all these things, but I also love what David had said about like community is not just about sin management. And so even though it's like monitoring those things of your words and your deeds and stuff like that, but it also is like knowing that this is a community that you can be open and share things, but it's also not a place that we're here to just judge you for like what you need to be fixing and what you need to do right.
Yeah.
So there's some of my two cents, I guess, but even staff, we are not perfect. We are far from it. Each one of us. So,
yeah. I mean, I think we just need to be even intentional about like wanting to see the best in people and not the worst, and like really being intentional about like, you know, yeah, like you need to call out, like, you know, when you're in that place and like having the balance of grace and truth and like calling out the things that you see, but like that are, you know, not so great, but also we need to do like the flip side of it too. You know, like we need to call it like the giftings in one another, and we need to affirm one another. And we like, you know, what we were doing in those fall retreat notes, like let's do that to each other's faces. You know what I mean?
Yes. You actually made me think of, so something I tried to do with my groups that my friends and I started a while back, and this had happened, I think, when we were in groups. And so that's why we kind of just carried on this tradition. So little heads up, if you're my core group, you may not know. But it actually, we go around at the end of, I don't know if we do at the end of every semester, but at least at the end of the year, we go around in my group and we, to their face, encourage each other. Yeah. And we say if it's a word or if it's a, something that comes to mind, and we encourage each other.
I love that. We need more of it. Well, cool. So coming out of this week, coming out of this message, what would you give as maybe just like a one simple, like practical application?
Dang. Oh, that's a really good question.
Because we could give them a long list of things, but maybe we just need to start small.
That's true. I think really take stock of your friendships, whether you have the friendships now or not, and think to yourself of like, am I honoring that person? Are they honoring me? Like, and are we headed in the direction that, like, if I'm following Christ, like, does this path align? It's kind of how I think Matt Zola even shared of his like story and talking about his friends, like his true friends in the moment were like, we don't know what you're doing. Like, this path is so different. Like, you are different than what we thought. And sometimes things happen and like life grows and changes and we grow and change. But I think really taking stock of your relationships and your friendships and saying like, are we honoring God? Is this honoring to God? And are we honoring each other and processing through that with the Lord? And then from there saying, okay, like these are some friendships, like we can work on this. And, or maybe like, I need to be making some new friends. Doesn't mean you have to completely ditch your old friends, but sometimes it's just kind of discerning. And you're welcome to like talk through, if you have a core group leader, a shift group leader, or a staff member, like anybody around who also has been through those things, like talk to them about it and be like, hey, I'm kind of unsure about my friends. Like, what do I do? Or should I be questioning? Like, what is up? And being willing to be open for those conversations.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. For mine, I think I'll just say something that I feel like we didn't really hit on, which is just like, that question of like, where do you go when you're tired? Like the whole halt thing, you know, hungry, angry, alone, tired. Like if you're any one of those, you probably shouldn't be making decisions. And so like even taking stock of like, okay, in those moments where like, I'm tired, I'm lonely, like, where do I run? What do I run to? And like taking stock of like what that is, and then saying, you know, how do I like combat this with community? Mm-hmm. I think that was really good. Like he even used the example of like the preacher who's just like worn out and like was falling into things that didn't really feel like they were honoring the Lord on Sunday evening. So like, what are those times for you? What do those moments look like? And then who can you, you know, invite into those moments, and how can you, you know, actively, intentionally, like we've been saying, fight for community, in those moments when, you know, sin crouches at the door, right?
Yeah. Something similar that I've even as going through this process of engagement. So I'm getting married soon. And that's one thing like Sam and I have learned and talked through of like that refining is being able to be open about those things with each other and talk through things that are going on in your life. And like, hey, okay, you reacted this way. Like, are you hungry? Are you angry? Are you lonely? Are you tired? Like, and if so, like, why did you respond in that way? And let's like, I know something I personally have had to really work on is not just shutting down.
Yeah.
And actually learning how to communicate with people. And sometimes that takes me a moment, and that's okay. Thankfully, he is a very patient and grace-filled man. And I think that's just a reflection of our Father, who is also very grace-filled and patient with us.
Yeah.
And so learning how to communicate with God and with others and say, hey, I messed up, but here we are.
Man, Lindsay, I feel like you've set us up for like a perfect kind of like segue out of this, which is like, I think you're hitting on something good there. And like, you know, your relationship with Sam and like my relationship with my wife, Alex, like those are similar to like, those are friendships.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're more than that, obviously, because like they're, you know, it's a marriage and it's like a holy union. And it's like a relationship, but also like it is at the end of the day, like a friendship. And I think that like, if you're someone who, you know, is dating somebody, like wants to be dating somebody, wants to be married one day, like I think that, you know, building good friendships is like a good training ground for like being a good friend to like the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And, you know, news alert, like it's that, those like that relationship, is going to take, you know, intentionality, and is going to take investment, and, is not going to always be easy. Like just like friendships aren't. And so I think that, even as we move into relationships, next week, as we move, you know, through this connected series, I think it's really important to like learn how to be a good friend first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll even say that I am not who I am now. And in this relationship with my fiance, I would not be this person without my friends.
Yeah.
I think of like my best friend Celeste and just the refinement of we've learned that balance of grace and truth and living it out. And because of the work the Lord has done in my life that I've done with him and that he has worked on me through friendships, that is why I am the person I am today. And to be able to then marry Sam and be the person I am. And I think I could say the same for him too, is the relationships he's had is refined him into this point. And like, here we are marrying each other and just continue the friendship. And like you said, like you got to start somewhere. So friendship is a great thing. And yeah, it is very refining. So
it's good.
They both require intentionality.
Man, a little social media rant, a little relationship advice. That's what you get when Lindsay and I hop on a podcast. So we hope you guys have enjoyed it. And we will catch you next time as we go through this series Connected. See you guys.
Bye.